Dave, remember the feeling of watching Saturday morning cartoons with your favorite bowl of sugary cereal?
Sure.
Well, what if I told you that you could recapture that feeling, but without the guilt of eating cereal that's bad for you?
I'd say you must be talking about Magic Spoon.
That's right, Dave. And now you can get a variety pack with four featured flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs. Each serving is only 140 calories. They're keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb.
My favorite flavor is the frosted.
Spice up your peanut butter cereal by slicing up some fresh banana in it. That's what I did.
Go to magicspoon.com/AIC to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code AIC at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/AIC and use the code AIC to save $5.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Hi.
Dave, we are back.
We are.
And you know what, Dave? In the time-honored tradition of Adventures in Collecting, what should I not do this week?
Go swimming 15 minutes after eating.
I mean, that is summer appropriate, so that's great advice. But I was thinking something a little different.
Is it burying the lead?
I mean, since you did it in the form of a question, I feel like I should be doing my best Alex Trebek, but I can't. But yes, I am not going to bury the lead because, of course, we are
you
back.
You have a mustache, so...
I do. So I could be 90s Trebek. That is true. Anal bum cover. We do have a guest joining us today, Dave.
We do, Eric.
And he is a returning guest. So
yes.
So coming in, I'm still going to say we're coming in hot off of San Diego Comic-Con because it was a big deal this year. There were a lot of fun reveals. It was
there
cool.
There was a Comic-Con.
There was, in fact, a Comic-Con, so I am going to, I'm going to keep with that vernacular, and I'm going to say coming in hot off of the return to Comic-Con, and some huge announcements company-wide. I mean, we've got a 40th anniversary, we've got tons of new licenses, and a big splashy pro wrestling license. Joining us once again on the pod, we welcome back our friend Zach Oat of Diamond Select Toys. Zach, welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you for having me back. I feel so honored being brought back. Usually I'm not invited back to many places.
I find that hard to believe. How could you not be invited back, dude?
I guess I make myself unwelcome wherever I go.
Well, certainly not here. We are super stoked to have you back on, especially with all of the fun announcements that we just hinted at. But before we kind of dive into all of that, what have you been collecting these days?
You know, it's a bit of a cop out to say that I collect a lot of DST. I collect a lot of stuff. I collect pops. I collect Transformers and G.I. Joe and everything. But in terms of what I actually, the amount of room I have, I don't have a lot of room to actually collect stuff. I don't have a storage area, and my shed is full of DST stuff that I've collected over the years. But Minimates, whenever a new set of Minimates comes out, I go crazy for them. I do collect Matchbox and Hot Wheels, so I've got a big wall full of them. I collect the Dorbs by Funko, small stuff that I can fit into my collecting nook. Big stuff I just don't have any room for, unless it's something really cool that we made that I just have to own. I'm going to cop out and say DST items, because we do a lot of different stuff, and it's all cool.
Yeah, I mean, that could be you could be worse off. I mean, that you have a lot to choose from, lots of fun IPs and form factors and stuff. Speaking of the Matchbox and Hot Wheels, though, have you seen they've gotten into the fingerboard decks? They've been putting out skateboards now.
I have not. I haven't come across those yet. I know they do a lot of different crazy stuff. Like they do like the Lego brick building ones. I really like the realistic cars more than the like really fun, crazy cars. If I see a Batmobile, I'm a sucker for a Batmobile. So anytime I see a Batmobile, I'm sure to pick it up. If I'm not buying them new off the rack at like, Dollar General or Dollar Tree or something like that, then I'm looking at bags at the thrift store and seeing if there's any cool ones in there. I like finding old ones. It's a fun hobby. I do it with my son. He loves Matchbox too. But I do love action figures. I have a lot of DST figures that I'm always setting up and taking pictures with. So I'm still a non-car toy guy at heart.
So, for those who aren't familiar with you or who missed the first time you were on, Zach, remind our listeners what you do over at Diamond Select.
My title is marketing supervisor, so I kind of oversee stuff that we do for social media and advertising. I write a lot of copy in terms of catalog and packaging and ad text and stuff like that. I reach out to a lot of influencers and celebrities. I work with a lot of reviewers. Every now and then they let me take pictures of stuff or do like a TikTok and something like that. But for the most part, I do a lot of editing and copy editing and writing. But it's something different every day because, like you said, we have a lot of IPs and we have a lot of different categories of product.
So we mentioned it, at the top in the intro, but San Diego Comic-Con just recently wrapped and it was back in person. So what was it like being there? What was the vibe? What was the energy like? You guys had an awesome looking booth that we saw via photos. But just tell us a little bit about the con experience for you.
It was a good show. It was maybe a little more sedate and quiet, apprehensive than past years. But we had some good sales and we had a lot of good response to the stuff we showed off. And some good interviews with people. We had a good event with the AEW wrestlers that came by our booth. It was a good show. And then in the evening, you're on your feet all day, but then in the evening you get to sit down and have a nice dinner with your friends and coworkers. So it's not all work, but it was a good show. Good show for the company.
Yeah, your con offerings this year were awesome. That whole VHS set, the two Cobra Kai figures and the Bruce Lee and the John Wick and those VHS style, like almost like Disney style clamshells were fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they did really well at the show. I think we sold out of Bruce Lee and John Wick, and I think we only had a few of the Cobra Kais left at the end. We also sold out of our Nightcrawler statue in his X-Force outfit. What else do we have there? We had a great animated style Spider-Man bust that did really well. And there were a couple of things that didn't make it. Like we had a really cool Phoenix Gallery diorama that just, with all the transportation issues that have been going on since COVID, just didn't make it there in time. Just shipping issues. But we're going to have some cool exclusives at New York Comic Con. So hopefully, and we've also been launching a lot of things for the 40th anniversary of Diamond. So there've been a lot of exclusives this year. We just missed out on a couple at San Diego, but hopefully people like what we're offering.
Yeah. And ahead of the big event, Diamond revealed that it obtained the license to produce AEW collectibles. The CM Punk and Sting 2-pack, I think were Comic Con, right? How did that come about?
I think it happened because, you know, when it comes to licensing, the people who work for the different companies, you know, to work with the licensees, you know, they move around a little bit, you know, they'll move from company to company. And when you work with somebody at one company, then they go to another company, you know, they bring that relationship along with them. So, you know, if there's somebody you've worked with in the past, then, you know, you're more likely to work with them in the future. And, I think, AEW is just looking for, you know, somebody else to partner with on merch, in addition to, you know, their great success with the Jazzwares line. And I think they just, they liked what we did. They liked our action figures. They liked our statues. They liked our, the whole Minimates, line. And, yeah, we got a couple different categories with them. We're going to do Minimates, the Vinimates 4-inch figures that we did the exclusive 2-pack for San Diego. Those will probably be more exclusive style offerings. But the Minimates are going to be offered at stores. The gallery dioramas, we showed off a couple new ones at the booth. And we've got like 3 or 4 more in development. And then I think we're also working on some higher end resin items as well. So we'll see how those are going. I think the first one is designed, and I'm not sure how often we're going to put out a resin piece, but we've got a lot of gallery dioramas lined up.
Yeah, it's so awesome because like we're in this really kind of this wrestling collectible renaissance right now. You know, whether it's, you know, indie toy makers out there like Zombie Sailor and Chella, you know, to, you know, like you mentioned, you know, what Jazzwares is doing with AEW and of course what Mattel continues to do with WWE, and now you guys coming into the fold with these, you know, with your gallery diorama pieces and of course the Minimates and Vinimates. It's just like there is a such a wide selection of wrestling collectibles out there. I completely forgot to mention the trading cards too are back like they've never been, you know, before. So it's wild to see all of the different you know, collecting opportunities for wrestling right now.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen a lot of quotes going back and forth between AEW and WWE saying, you know, that each of the other is glad that the other league is doing well. And I think it's a case of, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, or however they say it. So, I mean, you know, as you get more and more interest in the two leagues, and they're, you know, and they're going head to head, and they're each one is making the other one do better. You know, you're going to get more cool products to go along with that, and that goes for the indie wrestling too, and the classic legends that you're seeing in those smaller toy lines.
So what's your you know, do you have like a background in wrestling, or are you a fan, just a, you know, out of curiosity? Because, you know, Dave and I are both, you know, I would say at this point, Dave, I'm probably as avid as you are, but you know, we watch, you know, weekly. What's kind of like your relationship with wrestling?
You know, I grew up in the 80s, but I wasn't really big into the rock and wrestling thing. You know, I don't even think I really watched the cartoon. I knew who everybody was. You know, I wasn't necessarily like a watcher or a fan. I doubt my parents would have let me watch it when I was a kid. I started watching it in the 90s, WWE and WCW, with friends, and, playing the wrestling games, in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, now I watch when AEW started, I was like, oh, that's, you know, it's something I can get on board at the ground level, because I hadn't watched WWE in a while. I used to watch it with my boss at Wizard Entertainment. We'd go over to his house for the pay-per-views. I mostly watched the pay-per-views. When AEW came out, I watched the first episode, and I thought it was great. You know, I saw a lot of wrestlers that I really liked, and I didn't really, you know, get on board watching it regularly for a while, but once I found out we got the license, I started back in on it, and I've been kind of hooked. I've been watching AEW with my kids, and they love it. And we've all got our favorites. Primarily AEW. I don't really watch WWE right now, but I try to keep track of what's going on over there and who's hot and who's getting toys. For the most part, I'm all AEW.
Yeah, and a really cool like gallery diorama piece to kick it off with CM Punk in his kind of signature, you know, cross-legged in promo pose, which very awesome, very cool to see.
Yeah, that one came out really great. It was designed by Gabriel Quesada. He does all of our dioramas for AEW. And we had John Moxley on display as well. He's still being revised, he's going to be, I think, probably the second one. And then we've got a few others that are in the sculpting stages, actually. So hopefully we'll be showing off with soliciting Moxley in the next couple months, and then another one a couple months after that. I don't know how many we're going to have on pre-order before we release Punk. We don't like to have too many in the pre-order hopper. We like people to be able to, you know, see how one does before they have to order the third one, you know? So, with all the delays in terms of manufacturing, it makes that a little bit more difficult because you don't want to stretch it out too far. The second one looks great, I think, with Moxley standing on top of that divider. And then the third one's going to be even cooler. So hopefully everybody likes that one as well. The statue is going to be, it's going to be somebody we've done a gallery of, but it's going to be a very cool piece. So hopefully people dig that as well. I'm most excited about the Mini Mates, really, because they're a lot of fun. To get all that little detail of the tattoos in on those 2-inch figures, it's really amazing. You know, the design that goes into the pieces, and they're going to be come with a lot of wrestling gear, and you'll be able to pose them in all sorts of poses. You can come with chairs and tables and bats and stuff like that. And we're working on some bigger things to go along with that. So hopefully people dig that.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, with the Mini Mates and kind of just the nature of wrestling figures, regardless of scale, it's going to be interesting to see how people kind of fit those diorama pieces into their displays, their wrestling displays. But, with those Mini Mates, I mean, like, the world is kind of your oyster, like rings and entrance stages. Like, at that scale, you have the ability to kind of make,
anything
play sets, really. I mean, what it boils down to, and that would be incredible.
Yeah, you can definitely do a lot more when you're dealing with that smaller scale. You can set up, if you're a wrestling fan, you're a little uncomfortable setting up a lot of wrestling figures on your desk at work, you can set up these little guys and maybe unobtrusively put them in a corner and, have them doing moves when you're on your break and stuff like that. They're a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of Mini Mates, and they're interchangeable too. So hopefully there'll be some stuff with, like, we're doing an Orange Cassidy where he'll come in his jacket, but then you can switch it out and have him be bare chested for when he wrestles.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very cool. Earlier this year, Diamond also announced a partnership with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And we saw a great looking piece by Eamon O'Donoghue and Rocco Tartamella go up for pre-order. Will there be any JCVD action figures coming?
Yes. I'm not sure if we ended up putting out a press release about that. I think we did. But we're going to be doing a lot of different types of products for that. I don't know if we're doing resin pieces, but we're going to do some action figures for sure. I think we're pretty close to offering the first one. I know it's been pushed back a couple of times just because we're working on wrapping it up and getting it approved. But it should be offered before the end of the year, the first Van Damme action figure.
Awesome. I cannot wait to see that. Especially, like, I love the Bruce Lee ones so much that, like, it just feels like, like, that's a matchup we never got on screen but deserved. So, like, that's going to be, like, I know you can't say, but my fingers are crossed for, like, Bloodsport. Because, yeah, there's just so many options with him. Time Cop is another one, right? all those different looks that he had in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how our license works in terms of, like, the different outfits that we can do, because obviously the different movies are all from different studios. But the deal we had with Bruce Lee was we could really make him in a variety of outfits based on, his photographic archives. So there were costumes we could use from different movies, even though we weren't necessarily licensing other characters from those movies. So I think the Jean-Claude Van Damme might be sort of similar. So you'll see a lot of outfits that, fit in with those movies. We're not going to see, like, any Bolo figures or anything like that to go along with them, at least not at first. If the line does really well, maybe we can look at that in terms of expanding, but, I'm excited. I just watched Double Impact again after a long while, and it still holds up. It's still a great film.
I saw your post. Yeah, I mean, you got to give a guy credit for playing two characters in one movie that are so vastly different.
Yeah, I mean, I was really impressed. You know, I think of him as, you know, being sort of before rewatching it, I had thought of him being sort of like, you know, I don't want to call him, I don't want to say he's one note. I thought of him as being like, you know, has a type he plays, you know, that sort of, you know, innocent, but, you know, very dangerous person. But he really does play two completely different characters in that movie. And he does a great job with it as well. You know, the effects are, you know, leave a little bit to be desired, but the performance, I think, is really great.
I will say, if you're diving into his catalog and rewatching some things, if you have a certain memory of the Street Fighter film and how that all played out, just let that live in your head the way that it is. Don't go back and rewatch that one. no shade to anyone, you know, involved in making that film, acting in it, but like just don't let that live in your memory as exactly how you remember it, because I promise you, if you rewatch that one, it's tough. It's not a fun rewatch.
I'm not a huge gamer, so I'm not entirely sure that I have actually seen the Street Fighter movie. I'm a fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme, but I don't think I've actually seen it. I only recently, like in the past year, watched Mortal Kombat for probably the first time. And that one, I think, definitely doesn't necessarily hold up as well, but Street Fighter is one that I actually might need to go watch, because I just don't think I've seen it.
Okay, fair enough. If you've never seen it before, it's definitely something that's worth watching at least once. just for the sake of having been able to say that you watched it. Yeah.
I probably shamed myself by saying right now that I haven't, but I want to be completely honest here. I want to come clean. I don't want to have any sort of, you know, regrets.
D movie confessions with Adventures in Collecting. That's we have a spinoff, Dave. We have a spinoff.
Yeah.
So from Inside the Ring to Lord of the Rings. The super popular Lord of the Rings line continues on with the Boromir and Lertz figures that you guys showed off during the con. Can we expect more figure announcements for Lord of the Rings in 2023?
Yes. I don't know if we'll have another assortment offered. We're going to offer that assortment pretty soon. I think we're just waiting to hear on approvals for Boromir. But I don't know if we're going to, we're definitely going to offer it before the end of the year. I don't know if we're going to offer the next assortment, series 6, before the end of the year, but I hope we'll have it, offered in early 2023. Cause it's, we've got several waves in development. So I don't know where all of them are in the design stage, but we've got, a line plan that goes out several waves. So hopefully people will be happy with the characters we've chosen. You know, our primary goal is completing the Fellowship, but we also want to mix in some, you know, key characters, especially bad guys. So we'll definitely see a couple of series released in 2023. Whether or not we'll see them both offered before the end of the year, I'm not sure.
Now, the Sauron Build-A-Figure was a lot of fun. I mean, it's an awesome figure, you know, kind of watching something that scale come together. Are there plans to do something like that again in the future waves, or are these going to kind of just be two figure collections kind of going forward?
As far as I know, we're not going to be doing more Build-A-Figures going forward. We have talked, I think we've talked about this in the past. We have talked about larger scale figures, as you know, separate releases. I think we're still looking into that, whether, you know, the cost of doing some of those things is pretty high, whether you're doing it as a diorama PVC or a resin statue. It's, you know, they're both pretty expensive pieces to make just due to the scale involved. But I think we haven't given up on it. So I keep pushing for it. I think we're gonna keep thinking about it, and hopefully we can figure something out. I don't know if we're going to look into doing some sort of crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, but that would be my my thought as far as making something like that happen. But we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely precedent, you know, in the industry for things like that, because with the amount of detail that that Eamon and Gentle Giant are putting into these things, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at Gollum, you know, perched on his rock as I'm saying this, but I think that the fan base would love to have some of those bigger pieces, you know, like a cave troll, or of course, like we mentioned, you know, last time we had you on, like Balrog, you know, it would be awesome to have, you know, have pieces like that to go with this collection.
100% agree. Absolutely.
So too, with the new Prime series, coming out, does this line, is it really kind of locked into the first three films, or, you know, can collectors kind of expect to see maybe some new characters as that, that Prime show comes out?
We're focusing on the first three movies for now. You know, there's a lot of characters still to be made, a lot of characters people want. We're never going to do, you know, the in-depth number of figures that Toy Biz did. I mean, they did, you know, like 100 different figures and characters. We want it to be, to hit all the key spots. And I think if we end up doing that, I think we'll see how it goes, and we'll look at it down the road. I know that if the line keeps going and is successful, we definitely want to do some stuff for The Hobbit as well. So we'll see how that goes, and then we'll see how the show goes. And, I'm sure we'll be able to talk to them about possibilities in the future.
Awesome. Yeah, I think people are just going to be excited to hear that there are, you know, kind of future plans, and like, you know, there's an array of figures coming, because I think that's always the fear, right? Especially something with, you know, to that point, you know, with the kind of scope of characters as the Lord of the Rings kind of lore, that like all of a sudden it's like, you know, the team's not going to be complete, and, you know, something happens with the license, or, you know, the gears kind of switch and move to some other part of the property. So, I think people are going to be really happy with that news.
Good, good. I mean, I think people definitely, you know, I think as long as the sales stay there, we'll be able to get to, you know, all the characters that people want. Obviously, you know, I think Lurtz and Boromir is a strong wave, and I hope people want to get those two figures just to make them fight. So I'm hoping that'll be another successful wave for us. So far, we've been doing real good. So fingers crossed it keeps going.
And now, are there plans to include, kind of holes in Boromir, so that way we can just kind of fill him with arrows, or?
Well, we're going to fill him with magnets, and we're going to put metal on all of the arrowheads, and we'll just you just throw them at him, and they'll just stay right there. No, I'm not aware of anything like that, but you've got me thinking now, and I'm going to make some suggestions.
Hey, listen, that's it. Like, you know, you guys did that awesome previous world exclusive of the clear variant, Frodo and Gollum, a Boromir in a box just with a bunch of arrows sticking out of him. That's got con exclusive written all over it. Just saying, we'll take no credit for it if it happens.
I think San Diego 2023 is shaping up real nice.
Which is just like peak Sean Bean, because he never makes it out of a movie. So,
yeah, you got to commemorate that somehow.
The best Sean, I mean, Sean Bean's a wonderful actor. I'm sure he's a lovely human, but like in terms of his appearance in fictional, fictional stories, a dead Sean Bean is kind of like it's a common card. If it were trading cards, a dead Sean Bean would be like the most common. Of trading cards.
Yeah, a character, a movie in which his character does not make it to the end of the movie.
I think that was like a thing for a while, like an early internet meme where
I was gonna say it was an early meme.
Yeah, where every time he announced he was in a film, like the question was like, oh, well, we know who's not making it to the end of this one.
He's such a tragic figure.
Yeah, and he's such a lovely actor too. Like, he's great in everything that he's in. It's just he's always biting it. All right, so with that, we're gonna head into some Q&A. This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at 106 Main Street in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at ChubsyWubsy.com. That's ChubsyWubsy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you. As we always do when we have a guest on the show, we posted announcing said guest, and we give our followers a chance to submit questions. So if you would like a chance to submit questions for a future episode of Adventures in Collecting, make sure you're following us at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter, because when we do have a guest, we'll put a post and a story up so that way you can submit questions. And today's questions, you will hear, let's see, how many do we have? We have 6 questions from followers. Some of them are kind of like an amalgam. But Zach, are you ready for some Q&A? Dave, would you like to do the first one?
I would. Many have asked this question. Do you have any status update on the Invader Zim figures that were announced?
Yes. I don't know if I have a timeline. I don't know if I have like a new release date or anything like that, but I know that we have run into some problems with manufacturing because, as awesome a designer as Jonan Vasquez is, the limbs of all the characters are very thin. And when you're showing off a resin figure, you know, they'll stand up. But when you're making it out of PVC plastic, then you run into support issues. So we're trying to make them look good and stand up properly. I think that we're working on that product problem right now. And hopefully we'll have an answer in the next couple of months. And we'll be able to figure something out before the end of the year. I'll keep everybody posted. We'll keep everybody posted online. They may have already solved the problem for all I know. I'm not involved in every aspect of production. A lot of them I'm not involved in at all. I will keep an ear out and try to get the word out to people.
Awesome. Our next question we actually already answered. I'm just realizing as I'm going through here. At Craig Stuff, friend of the pod, asks, are there plans to complete the fellowship for the Lord of the Rings line?
Yes, that is the plan. That is 100% the plan. We've got a line plan set out to, I think, wave series 10, and the fellowship factors in every wave, I believe. And hopefully people are cool with the rollout schedule and the rollout speed. So stick with it, and you will have a fellowship.
So remember, Lord of the Rings collectors, the figures arrive not early or late, but precisely when they mean to. That's what it is.
At Gizmodorama asks, with the recent announcements of re-releases, is it at all possible that we see a re-release of the real Ghostbusters figures?
Let's see. I guess we've announced the Pacific Rim Uprising re-releases, and we've announced them. We're always putting out Muppets Best Ofs and Nightmare Before Christmas Best Ofs. As far as I know, we do not have any current action figure plans for real Ghostbusters. The license was with others. I don't know if it still is with others, but I don't think we have any plans to reissue them in the near future. But that doesn't mean that we can't consider it in the farther future. We'll have to keep you posted. But right now, there are no current plans.
All right, our next one comes from @Bison1780, and they ask, does Diamond Select ever consider revisiting a figure, like for instance Green Goblin, to update articulation?
We often consider revisiting characters that we think need a new version. if it's something that, you know, makes sense or is a different costume that we can do or something like that, we've done it with Spider-Man. We've actually done it with Green Goblin. We did a classic Green Goblin that was not very poseable, came with a Spider-Man tied up in a rope. And then we went and did a modern Green Goblin that was a lot more poseable than that one. Whether we would revisit Green Goblin a third time, not sure. You know, we've done a couple different Thors, comic Thors, three different comic Thors. We've done, we are looking at other characters that need revisions and, you know, need new versions. But I think getting another Green Goblin, very rarely will, not at all will we go back and add articulation to a previously released figure. It's going to take up, it's going to be one more new figure we can't make that year. And it's going to, there are a lot of different contractual considerations to bring into account that I can't talk about too in depth. But it's unlikely we would go back and add articulation to a figure we've already released. I'll just put it at that. But whether or not, you know, a new Green Goblin might happen down the road, if he gets a new costume, a new look, new artist, Disney Store wants to do a Green Goblin, I never say never is what my boss always says, Chuck, who some people use that as a punchline a lot, but it's true. You know, whoever thought that certain things would happen and then they do.
So we get a lot of questions about like if or when particular characters are coming in select form. Can you tell us a little bit about how these characters are selected? And if there is a preferred way to make requests for characters known?
We have looked at past polls. There was a poll on the Foosh a while back that we revisited for some characters not too, too long ago. Titanium Man was one that had gotten a lot of votes way back in the day. And then no one ever made him. No one ever made a classic Titanium Man. So we did. And it turned out really great. And a lot of people wanted it. And it sold real well. There's another poll that they did on the Marvel Select Collector Group on Facebook, which they actually did in response to the Titanium Man because they didn't think the Titanium Man was a very good choice. So they started their own poll. There's a lot of characters on there that we wouldn't necessarily consider right off the bat. Like I doubt we'll ever do a Galactus or a Sentinel just because, again, contractual stuff, but I think if it doesn't fit into our packaging, current packaging, then it's probably not very likely. But they had a lot of great suggestions, and we've looked at a lot of those. Some of those higher up ranking characters are going to be made. I think somebody was asking about the FF, whether we're going to do more FF. I may be jumping ahead to the next question, but they've definitely been considered for future releases, so I can't get too in depth to it, but we know people want the rest of the FF, and we know people want more X-Men. We've got an X-Man in the works for sure. I think we saw that the Titanium Man did really well, so we're gonna see what else we can do that might go along with it.
So in terms of like just sticking specifically to Marvel for a moment, like the character selection process, is it kind of like situations where, you know, Marvel, you know, reaches out and says like this character is a priority, you know, whether it's something that's movie related or you know, even something that's going on that's like hot in the comics? Or is it more like, you know, you guys just kind of get to decide, you know, based on kind of the catalog of characters, if you will, you know, which ones, you know, you guys want to make, you know, which one you know, the designers are interested in, like how does that process actually work for Diamond Select?
It is a lot of what we're interested in. You know, if something is really hot in the comics, you know, we may want to wait and see if it's got like, you know, sticking power, whether it's going to stay around for a little while before we, you know, rush out and make a figure of it. Very rarely does Marvel come to us and say, hey, why don't you make this guy? We do listen, you know, to some of our customers when it comes to like the Disney Store. You know, if there's somebody, that they want to have a figure of, then we'll, you know, look into doing it for them. Usually it's, you know, we ask if we can do somebody and, you know, and then, you know, they see if it works into their their scheduling and their, you know, plans for the character and that sort of thing. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out with movie characters. If it's, you know, a question of timing, you know, whether it's going to be, whether it's going to be able to come out at the same time as the entertainment. But there is, you know, there is a certain amount of fan wish listing that goes on, not just in the fan base, but inside the office as well. So every now and then I get to throw in my two cents about who I think would make be a good choice, not only based on, you know, fan votes, but also based on, you know, what we've done and who would make sense to pair up with them and just who would be really cool and who would make sense for the line, who we could put a lot of detail into, who has not been done in our line before, you know, what area of the Marvel Universe could stand to be expanded in the Diamond Select, Marvel Select line. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but we really do try to listen to the fans whenever possible. You know, whether it's directly them saying they want this Marvel Select or whether it's based on, you know, popularity of certain characters in the comics.
Awesome. And our last Q&A question comes from a friend of the pod, Creepy NJ. He says, I loved the build a diorama waves from past releases. Do you think that will ever make a return?
Let's see. You know, we've partially shifted a lot of our packaging away from select packaging, which allowed for a lot of that stuff, to deluxe packaging, which, you know, is a little bit more streamlined. A lot of people, you know, thought the select was a lot of wasted space, but it did make a lot of stuff possible. With the cost of everything going up, you know, the doing larger scale dioramas like that is not as feasible anymore, but we certainly haven't ruled it out in the future. I'm not sure who I can point to as us doing something in the future that might have that, but we do want to make more Night Before Christmas characters. We've talked about that, and those have often had the diorama element. Whether we'll do, you know, Marvel Select figures that have more diorama elements, I'm not sure. We'll have to look at, see if the next X-Men can come with, you know, some more of the Danger Room diorama. I'm not sure what else to point to as being diorama based. We try to include, you know, accessories when that makes sense, whenever possible. And, you know, some of those can be on the larger side, depending on what they are. But I don't want to say we're getting away from it, but it's certainly not as, doesn't make as much sense as it used to in terms of financially and just logistically.
With that, that wraps up our social media Q&A. So thank you to everybody for submitting your questions. And Zach, you made it through it, man.
We did it.
Thank you. That was painless. Thank you guys for submitting questions. I really appreciate it that you actually wanted me to hear me talk about something.
Of course. I don't know where all of this this insecurity is coming from here, Zach, because you're a wealth of knowledge, man.
I appreciate that.
So we had to make a last minute pivot here because we have a final question that we ask all of our guests, but we have not had a repeating guest in the capacity of this interview. Like we've had guests that have been on before that have come on with like other guests with them, you know, have like kind of brought others with them. So we haven't had the chance to ask a final question to the same guest twice. So, Dave, would you like to fulfill your role as this podcast's James Lipton and ask this alternate final question?
Yes, we will enter the multiverse of final questions. Last time we had you on, you answered that your favorite / strangest piece in your collection was your Toy Fair Zach as Iron Man. So this time, we ask, what is the one toy or collectible you've always wanted but could never get?
Oh, gosh. Well, when I was a kid, I always flipped through the... my dad, I grew up near Rhode Island, so my dad knew some people at Hasbro, and so and he went into Toy Fair a couple of times in New York, and he once brought me back in 1985, I want to say, Hasbro toy catalog. And I flipped through that thing for hours until the spine dissolved and it was just a pile of pages. I admired all of the big G.I. Joe vehicles and all the big Transformers vehicles and cities and dinosaurs that there were. I think in the back of my head, I always wanted a USS flag, but I never had anything that big. I think the biggest thing I had was the armored personnel carrier, which was very cool, but certainly not USS flag size. I think I might have even known somebody with a flag. I'm not 100% sure about that. But if there's one I really wanted to get, a toy I really wanted to get that I could never get, it would be anything from the unproduced line of Cops action figures. I used to have a full collection. I've pared everything down when I was moving to a new place. But I used to have the complete Cops collection, everything they released. And we did a big story in Toy Fair magazine about the Cops series and how there was, you know, all the stuff that didn't get made. And we found, you know, catalog pictures of what almost happened. And there's so many great characters that would have shown up in that unproduced series of Cops and Crooks. And if I could go back, I would buy back all my Cops figures, and I would somehow track down those prototypes and try to get at least one into my collection. I had the privilege of interviewing some of the artists behind that line, Bart Sears and Richard Marstej, who both did character designs and packaging artwork for the line. And it was one of the pinnacles of my career to be able to put that story together for Toy Fair.
Man, that toy line, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I have very fond memories of that one dude with like the pink shirt and the white pants
and the beard
and like the beard. Like, I don't know what character it was, but like that was such a cool action figure that like ended up in kind of like the miscellaneous bin.
He was a driver. That was Turbo Two Tone, and he drove one of the Crooks vehicles. He had like a crazy handlebar mustache kind of thing, or like the connected to his sideburns. And he was definitely a cool looking character. I thought you were going to say the guy in the purple suit, Buttons McBoom Boom, because that seems to be a lot of people's favorite. But there are a lot of great ones. I do have one Cops figure left from my collection, which is Barricade, and he was like the Cops SWAT guy, and he had like a riot shield, and he had a gun that they all have fired caps. They all had caps in them, but he had a gun that was like a battering ram for knocking down doors and stuff. But he's one of my favorites. I still have him. They were great toys, and they were great character designs. And the cartoon was okay. It was an okay cartoon, but it was a toy line I never really had as a kid, even though I watched the cartoon. But then when I grew up, I had money, I bought myself everything I could.
All these years later, I finally know the name of that figure, and spot on Turbo Two Tone. I have no idea what I used to call him back in the day, but like that figure just kind of fit in to wherever it could.
I think I also had the blonde guy with the blue jacket.
Berserko. Yeah, he was I think the nephew of Big Boss on the Crook side. He was the dopey, creepy, kind of crazy member of the Crook gang.
Oh yeah, that's Dave. You definitely had that guy too. I'm looking at the picture.
Yeah, I had both of those.
Yeah. Oh man, I didn't. I actually, those were Hasbro.
Yeah, yeah, they were Hasbro. They were done kind of in the same style as G.I. Joe in terms of articulation. They had a lot of the same articulation. The figures were a little bit, you know, bulkier.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they were 5-inch scale, but they were also, or 6-inch scale, but they were also like a lot more muscular. For the most part, they vary. They had some skinny bucks, and they had some muscular bucks, and then they had some big fat bucks. But they were definitely a Hasbro item. I don't think they were around when I had that catalog. I think they were a later release, but I definitely watched the cartoon. Yep. I might have been getting out of toys by that time.
Looks like 1988. That's crazy. I think that I mean the colors alone are just on some of these, like the colorways on these figures are just so wild. It's like, yeah. so So very much
the
beast of
Miami
that.
Miami Vice.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Yes, a lot of pinks, a lot of light blues. I mean, the cops wore a lot of dark blue, but you have Dr. Bad Vibes had some pink on him, I'm pretty sure, from the Crook side. And a lot of popped collars going on.
Dr. Bad Vibes. Oh, man. What? Yeah. What a good figure line. Well, Zach, as always, man, it's an absolute pleasure having you here and chatting toys with you. But before we let you go, remind our listeners, where can they find you on the internet, and where can they learn more about Diamond Select Toys?
I'm on the internet as Zach Oat, Z-A-C-H-O-A-T. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I don't really go on Twitter very much, but Instagram and TikTok, I try to post stuff regularly, my toy photography and other stuff. But DST, you can find it, Collect DST on Twitter and Instagram, and I think on TikTok as well. And the website is DiamondSelectToys.com. We overhauled it about a year ago, maybe a little less, and it's a lot more user-friendly, and pretty much everything that we make is on there, unless it's an older item that's sold out. So definitely, if you're looking for something DST, check it out.
Yeah, the new website rules, by the way. That's
excellent. Thank
you. Yeah, that was an awesome change. So Zach, thank you so much for once again for coming on the show. We'll make sure we include links to the Diamond Select website, as well as, you know, all of the social handles you mentioned in the show notes. So those folks that are listening, you know, make sure you hit the show notes. You can just hit links. That way you don't have to, you know, go crazy typing stuff in. Zach, thanks again, man, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Dave, would you like to send us home?
It's time to go home, everybody.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.